Hello and welcome to Talk About Jazz with Doug Hall. I'm your host, Doug Hall. And today our guest artist is Chase Morin. And he's a pianist, composer, and educator who has released multiple acclaimed albums and been internationally recognized as a musician who, quote, pushes boundaries in jazz and classical music, and has created innovative multicultural music projects advocating for human rights and equity. He is currently a professor at Berklee College of Music, at the Global Jazz Institute, and New England Conservatory Preparatory School in Boston. Chase is also the recipient of 10 Downbeat Awards in composition, arrangement, performing, and leading groups from 2009 to 2017. So hello and welcome, Chase.
Hi, Doug. Thank you for having me.
An opportunity. Sure. And to have a chat with you really about all things musical, education-wise, career-wise, and project-wise. So I have been listening to your most recent release with the Eyes Trio, the Global Suites from 2024, and it's an interesting mix of ethnic flavors. I'm going to steal a little bit from a quote by Art Fuse magazine, which spoke about your band in general as being made up of a Californian, a Palestinian, and a native of Cyprus. Eyes Trio is about probing into the meaning of cultural differences, as well as learning each other's personal characteristics. Do you want to expand a little bit on that?
Yeah. So the trio, it's made up of myself, Nassim Alatrash, George Lernis. We're all very good friends. We all met actually through connections at Berklee College of Music. We all were students there at one point, and we all studied with Danilo Perez at the Global Jazz Institute as well. And we became great friends. Have so much respect for each other because, Nassim mm-hmm. and George are just killer musicians who are masters of their traditions that they come from. And we all connected through this vocabulary of jazz and the mm-hmm. spirit of improvisation mm-hmm. and the tradition that's so strong here in the U.S. and decided to form this group many years ago and finally got around to recording our first album just last year. So we're very excited about it. I think it's a lot of new sounds, new types of way of collaborating, especially between jazz and Middle Eastern kind of traditions mm-hmm. and sounds. So right. Yeah, I'm just excited for people to hear it.
That's great. Well, we're going to give our audience a chance to listen to a portion of two songs composed for this release, the Global Suites. And so we're going to transition at this point. I'm going to give Chase an opportunity to introduce both songs as he wishes to. The first composition is Resurrecting the Amber Sky. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and set that up for the audience?
Yeah, so this first album of ours, it's called the Global Suites because the album is comprised of four long kind of suites of music, stories of music that I mainly compose, but really co-compose as well with Nassim and George, learning from each other. And this particular suite, I was thinking about the environment and thinking about the past, where we came from, mm-hmm. the future that we hope for our children, which is right. such a critical issue nowadays, and yeah. then currently where we're at, with the state of crisis in the world. So this first movement is sort of reflecting that state. There's an urgency, there's beauty, but there's also mm-hmm. darkness, trying to capture those emotions in the music.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, let's have a listen to a portion of Resurrecting the Amber Sky. Thank you. Yeah, I really I love the I guess the punctuation of the rhythm in the background with the harmonizing of the vocal with the cello. And it's very jazzy, yet it sounds very international. And I was reminded of going back in time with my love of Chick Corea and the jazz fusion period. Her voice, that vocalist, reminded me of Flora Purim, mm-hmm. who played with Chick Corea and many others, and on that first Return to Forever song, and those lyrics that soar. So it really, I mean, there is the relationship between the cello and the vocal that's going on. And it's very minimalistic because in the background, it's quiet to a sense, except for the rhythm punctuation. And then the piano carries these single notes and then chords that seem to slow down the tempo. But there's a wonderful sort of distinction given between the different instruments. So I enjoyed the piece, and maybe there's a little foreboding in it, as you've said.
Yeah, there's something coming, like da, 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 da. That's a theme, right. Like where that's... are we going? We don't know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And I love that you say Chick. You know, Chick is one of my, when I was a young, you know, one of my first love on the piano in particular. So,
He's meant so much to so many people. It's just amazing. So,
yeah. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention. So there are two special guests with us on that track, Farai Malik, who was on vocals, and then our good friend, John Patitucci, playing bass.
Oh, that's John Patitucci. Wonderful.
Yeah. He's a good friend and colleague at Berkeley.
Right.
And the percussion, you know, some people are not familiar with these sounds, and I love what George brings to the table. He's playing a bunch of Middle Eastern, Eastern Mediterranean instruments together, like a hybrid set. So he's playing the darbuka. He's also playing the rick and the bendir.
Wow.
All together.
Yeah, and that flavor does come in very strongly. You know, almost the scene in a Moroccan bar, a bazaar, possibly, as you're making your way around such a crowded space. That effect comes through. Wonderful. Well, let's cue up the second composition, which I've written down as Break G4S, Echoes on the Wall. Do you want to set that up a little bit for us, Chase?
Yeah, this is a part of another, this is the middle part, actually, of a suite that's sort of, it's a darker suite about sort of the some of the atrocities of the prison industrial complex. So, so this is, yeah, the first movement is kind of a fighting piece. And the second piece, Echoes on the Walls, has to do with all the people who have been greatly impacted through the injustices of systems throughout the world, you know.
Right.
And so I left a lot of this to Nassim to play. A lot of it is kind of focused on us playing off each other. And Nassim plays a beautiful, very haunting taksim on the cello, trying to evoke a lot of emotions. And I kind of respond to that.
Okay, wonderful. Well, let's have a listen to Break G4S, Echoes on the Wall.
Thank you.
So, yes, I really feel the sort of the sorrow and the remorsefulness as played on the cello. It sounds almost like, in a sense, it's weeping a bit. And it's very singular because that's where your attention is drawn. So I think it's very impactful that way of creating a, in a sense, a somber mood. It's a somber subject, as you've explained it. And the piano also gives you that sort of interlude of notes that are kind of back and forth between the cello. So it's a very quiet piece, a piece that you need to really listen to, and it's affecting that way, and it's kind of somber mood.
Yeah, that's right. It's this kind of lull, that very intimate kind of part of the suite before we then drive into sort of the fight chant that comes at the end. But you know, that was a special moment. We like to improvise a lot and try to mix composition and improvisation in a seamless way where you can't really tell what is improvised and what isn't. It's a concept we learned from Danilo, who spent 20 years on the band stage with Wayne Shorter. It's a concept called zero gravity. Especially in live performances, we tend to really open things up and try to move together and try to create these stories on the spot.
Yeah.
So that was a moment there where we were experimenting with that and trying to evoke some of those polytonalities of like, what key are we in? Where are we? Like it's dark, it's very confusing. We're not sure, you know, what the way forward is. And then we try to eventually come together and continue from there.
Wow. And it's wonderful. Again, you refer to Danilo Perez. In my experience in interviewing, I had an opportunity years ago to meet him and interview him. And I actually listened to some recital of graduating students that very afternoon that I interviewed him, and later saw him perform a number of times. And then when Wayne Shorter passed, who I got to know through Weather Report, because my introduction to jazz was really through jazz fusion, and it's since just been as wide and far as my ears can take it. And so I had an opportunity to interview Danilo after he really needed a period of grief after Shorter died, and then he said he was available to talk about it. So I should send you the interview that I had with him, but it was very touching and it was very personal. And I remember when I wrote an article, a profile for All About Jazz about Wayne Shorter when he passed away. And I remember I closed it with a quote from him. And he's such a philosopher in so many ways. His mind just could go anywhere. and he seemed, I called it kind of not the Buddhist, but the wise man of experience in life. And when asked about compositions, as you said, improvising, making it seamless against compositions, when he is asked again about in the interview about composition and practice, he talked about when he was with Miles Davis, and his quote was, "How do you rehearse the unknown?"
Yep.
And I thought, wow, in a few words, that kind of covers it. Okay.
That's right. No, Danilo's like family to me. You know, we're very close and colleagues at Berkeley and as well as John, you know, and Terry. There are a lot of players who are deeply influenced and impacted by Wayne. So I kind of feel, his philosophy is a huge, huge impact, one of the greatest inspirations for me and this trio. You know, it's a different different kind of sound world, and we're definitely drawing influences, but that spirit is something we want to keep alive, that the zero gravity, exploring the unknown. You know, he once said that the sound of jazz is what if.
Right.
I love that.
I do too. Yeah. And I go back to him and it's a wonderful quote. And particularly in a sense, it's hard to quantify what you're trying to say when you move from composition to improvisation. But I think he was so much more than the music he created. He was philosopher, really, in many ways. Going directly into the Global Institute of Jazz and your role now as an instructor, could you talk just briefly about your style and your approach? I know it's kind of several questions in one. And then maybe your belief about the mission of Global Jazz Institute?
Sure, yeah. I was a student there in 2017. And a few years later, I got the call, hey, can you come teach with us? And so I've been teaching there for 6 years now. So it's just a completely life-changing program for me because it really helped me connect the music I do with the meaning behind it, like trying to serve communities, people, social activism, and not only just saying it, but doing it. Seeing Danilo's work and Patricia's work in Panama with the festival and foundation, mm-hmm. traveling there, and now being able to participate and collaborate with lots of other organizations and festivals and people who are trying to do social work and use music to help others. That for me was life-changing, was really made me turn a new direction with what kind of music I wanted to make and what I wanted to do. So for sure, that's a big facet of the teaching there, of the classes I do. A lot of different things, thinking about two main things. One, thinking about the tradition. So talking about the tradition of jazz, but mm-hmm. really thinking broader about the tradition of jazz, how it was always global from nature, for example, not ignoring all of the rest of the Americas and the rest of the world and their contributions to the tradition. And then thinking about the tradition going all the way back to Africa, you know, the roots of enslaved people being brought to the Americas and how that influenced the music, the tradition, the cultures, the spirit, the, mm-hmm. the philosophy, resistance, all these sort of things that are imbued into the tradition and how you can go deeper into it, right. you know, right. through that lens. And then thinking about the future, the things we want to change too, right? That not everything is great yeah. in the history. We want to make it even better and stronger. You know, there's that Buddhist mantra of turning poison into medicine. You know, right. that idea that influenced Wayne greatly and Herbie and a lot of these artists. And thinking about how it can be more inclusive too. So that's a huge part of the Global Jazz Institute, that it's not just traditional swinging bebop players that get admitted, but you also have a person who plays Greek lauto, or a person yeah. who there's a player who plays Korean piri in the program right now, and a person who plays the Turkish balama, for example. Right. And these are people who are welcome if they want to connect with the spirit of jazz, the tradition, right. and want to connect with others and find their own voice within the music. This is a space for them to do that. So we're thinking about those kind of things as well, making the space of the jazz ensemble more inclusive, and that's kind of represented in this trio as well, an important part of it.
Yeah. Well, I've had the good fortune of, since I started this podcast, interviewing probably 6 to 7 different Berklee students playing a variety of different instruments at different stages probably in their career, and they always feel so very fortunate to have had this sort of both intense but very family supportive experience within the Global Jazz Institute. They spoke about Danilo and about Lynn and about Petitucci, et cetera, and as being a relationship that just started and grew, and it's not left behind. And that even though they're trying to move into, I guess, the post Berklee career period, that all of those influences and those relationships and those friendships are part of their lives moving forward. So I felt that very strongly when I had the interview with Danilo. So kind of in a different direction, I wanted to just touch on your academic background, the duality of that, and our listeners may not be aware of this, but you earned a BS in computer science with a minor in neurobiology from Harvard University, and then went on to pursue a master's in music from both New England Conservatory and Berklee College of Music. So very unusual, it seems. How do you integrate your academic studies of the mind in neurobiology with the creative process of composing music?
That's always a good question. Yeah. I'm still finding the answers to them. Yeah. Well, you know, one, I met amazing people, you know, just brilliant people at Harvard doing computer science, doing neurobiology, learned about just amazing, beautiful concepts, you know. When I ended up trying to work in tech, I did a little bit, actually. That, for me, didn't gel with me as much. You know, that wasn't the right community for me. And that helped me kind of decide I was going to go full-time music. But I think a lot of the, you know, just the ways of thinking about problem solving, about about being on a team with people and trying to find some creative alternative solution. There's so much creativity required in these pursuits, you know. So learning about how the brain works and understanding there's a deep connection between music and neurobiology, because music is known as one of the most incredible forms of activating the brain that we know of, you know. There's a ton of neuroscientists who want to study music specifically because it's a very unique influence on the way we think and the way our minds interact, and which is connected to music therapy. There's a lot of incredible work being done with that and the power that it has to heal people. Right. So I was always fascinated with things. I'm always a kind of a curious person, reading and just trying to understand all sorts of different aspects of humanity and the world around us. And so, I think it's influenced how I think about the world, and it also has influenced then how I write compositions, and I try to evoke a lot of these things in the music we play and hear.
Right. Hey, I was just going to ask you one last general question, and then I'm going to give you a chance maybe to talk about some future upcoming performances or projects. So in general, do you see, I'm sure that you do see how I work this, jazz is a vehicle for positive change. Is jazz in a good place right now and continuing to be a force as a vehicle for positive change?
That's a really good question. I think if you look at the research, right, again, I'm going back to my neuroscience, you know, I'm a scientist at heart. If you look at the research, music is powerful. Okay. No matter what, it has been used to move political movements. It has been used for social cooperation, cohesion. It has been used to heal, all these kind of things. Right. And because it's powerful, it can do really great good and great bad. It has the capacity for both.
Right.
So because of that, you know, I think what I try to do as an educator at Berkeley and elsewhere is to try to get musicians to understand that kind of power and to take it as a responsibility. Because if you don't treat it as a responsibility, you do have the accidental capacity to harm as well as do good with music. So I think about those things, and I think about all the great examples of people doing really good work with music and trying to emulate those things and trying to build off of that. And I just encourage everyone to think about that and to try to, you know, take some of that wisdom in their own endeavors with music.
Well, that's a very good thought. Thank you for sharing it in that expressive way. So closing out on our 30 minutes already, could you touch on some future upcoming projects or performances or whatever you're working towards currently?
Yeah, absolutely. This year is going to be packed. I have not everything is announced yet, but I do have some more recordings coming out this year, which will be exciting. And this trio, we have a second album coming out. It'll either be at the end of this year or early next year. And we have our next up and coming performance that I encourage people in Boston to check out. That's going to be March 29th. It's a Sunday, 8:30 p.m. And it's going to be featuring a good friend of ours, Irini Tornasaki, who's a great vocalist from Greece. And we're going to be doing a mix of our own music and songs from Asia Minor. And it's going to be a really special event. It's going to be held at Gordon Chapel at Old South Church in Boston.
Okay.
So I definitely encourage people to check that out. You can also go to our website. We have our website, izetrio.com. We have a calendar of all upcoming events that we have going on, as well as lots more information about us and recordings and that sort of thing. And
Great. Well, you're very busy with wonderful projects and interacting with obviously musicians who you've played with and gotten to know, and some interjections of new musicianship and new personalities. And I will keep that March 29th gig as a eye calendar for myself.
Love to see you.
Well, Chase, again, thank you for spending this interview time with us and having a chat. And I wish for the best for you moving forward. And obviously, I think you have a wonderful, positive spirit. And I have a special place for the Global Jazz Institute because of going back and forth with a number of Berklee students and having a chance to meet and chat with Danilo Perez. Though long ago, it still stands in my mind. So best karma to you. And thank you for spending time with us. And good luck with whatever comes next. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.